wonder if, like me, you find it intriguing that after the resurrection, Jesus' body still carried the marks of the nails and where the spear had been thrust in his side. This amazing body that could appear and disappear, that was real to the touch, that could eat food, this body that was dead but was now alive again, still carried scars. Put your finger here, Jesus said to Thomas in verse 27. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Now we might imagine that the resurrected body of Jesus would be entirely glorious, showing the triumph of God over suffering and sin. But the scars from the wounds remained. How would that be? Well, some have suggested that it's to do with identification. Jesus seemed to look different after the resurrection. He wasn't always instantly recognizable. And maybe the scars were needed to prove that it really was him. Maybe it was to show that the resurrection truly happened, and this really was the body that had been tortured and died and was now alive again. The scars prove it. Whatever the reason, the scars seem to be necessary for God's purposes. They have no longer any power to hurt, but they act as proof of all that has been achieved through Jesus' sacrifice. And we could see them as visible signs of the depths of God's love for us, the length he would go to turn us back. In the same way, John, in his vision of heaven in the book of Revelation, sees a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the centre of the throne. So right in the centre of heaven is the symbol of God's own suffering for our sin, the sign of his passionate, unending, redemptive love. Suffering generally is a mystery, and I'm sure it's one that we all feel we could really do without. Diane Tyndall reminded us a few weeks ago that God does not always prevent pain and suffering. And if you are suffering and struggling this morning, then I'm sure one of the questions you will have asked many times is, why? Why this struggle? Why me? Why so much suffering in the world? And we have to be very wary of giving glib, easy answers. I was talking to a friend of mine recently about the whole problem of suffering, and she said, Christians always feel that they've got to explain everything, even when things are really hard to explain. And maybe what this encounter between Jesus and Thomas gives us is a picture that can help us in difficult times. Because when our emotions are all over the place, sometimes we don't need theology or a reasoned argument, but we need the reassurance that Jesus understands. And here in this encounter is Jesus risen, bearing the marks of his own suffering. And these marks show that he understands pain. They tell us that God does not stand at a great distance, untouched by the world he's made, but he's stepped in. He's experienced it, he's let evil do its worst. Our pain and our sin have been carried into the very throne room of God and dealt with. And the risen Jesus invites us to reach out to him in our hour of need, with the full confidence that he identifies with us. He has suffered, he understands our pain, he has overcome, and he wishes us peace. But I think the scars also remind us that we need to be practical and prepared. Because when Nick preached on this passage from John in the Mission Style series, I don't know if you remember, one of the songs he chose was The Servant King by Graham Kendrick. And you'll be familiar with the words that say, "Come, see his hands and his feet, the scars that speak of sacrifice." And the chorus says, "This is our God, the Servant King. He calls us now to follow him." And actually, we do need to take seriously the cost of following Jesus. And if I'm being honest, some of my least favourite verses in the Bible are from Matthew 16, where Jesus says, "Those who would come after me must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Deny myself? Sounds familiar. Take up my cross? Follow to the point of losing my life? No thanks, not unless I really have to. I don't think any of us would choose that path. But we have to think about what it might mean to follow Jesus. And we're truly fortunate, aren't we, that in this country, following Jesus does not mean death. But it might mean struggling in different ways. I did a search online and I came across a survey taken last year which indicated that only 6% of the UK population are committed Christians. Now, I'm not very good at maths, but even so, I can work out that those are not great odds. And it says that out of 100 people we meet, only 6 will be committed followers of Jesus. And if you're hoping to meet someone to share your life with, those are not great odds. Following Jesus for some of us might mean a long search for a life partner. It might mean coming to terms with being single. It could be called part of the cost of following Jesus. Or maybe for some of you who are married, there is the cost of commitment. Things change over the years, don't they? And maybe for some, things are no longer easy between you as a couple. These are not the things we tend to talk about, and you may very well be doing your best to stick at it, because you have taken seriously Jesus' words, "What God has joined together, let no one separate." But it can be tough or lonely. Following Jesus means sacrifice. And then there's the cost of compassion. If you look in the Gospels, you'll see that Jesus is always full of compassion. And as we follow him, his Spirit works in our hearts so that we are responsive to the needs and suffering of others. And maybe you volunteer in a place where you meet people at their point of need. It can be a very joyful experience to help other people, but it's also tough opening ourselves up to the pain of others. There's an emotional cost to bear from walking alongside people in distress. So there's a whole range of ways in which following Jesus can involve cost. And that's involved even in having faith itself. I remember many years ago when I went to a big church in Edinburgh, there was a young woman there who had come to faith in Christ, and she had previously been into drugs and a whole range of things. And somebody said to her, "Had her problems now gone away?" And she said, "Yes, but I've got a whole new set instead." And when we have faith in a loving and powerful God, one of our wounds might be a struggle with perhaps we or someone we love suffers from a long-term illness and there hasn't been healing. Perhaps we thought we were following God into a venture and it's not turned out well. And maybe if you work somewhere where profit and success are put above integrity, you'll find out about the cost of following Jesus, because promotion doesn't often come to those who speak up for what they believe to be right. So Jesus says, "Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness." But there is a cost. And I think it's inevitable that as we walk with the Lord throughout the years, we're going to acquire some scars of our own. But be encouraged, because alongside those difficult words of Jesus, there are ones that fill us with hope. And I'm sure that you're all familiar with the parable of the talents, where the master gives money to his servants, he goes away, and then sometime later he comes back and he asks the servants what they've done with the money. And when he hears that two of them had really put the money to good use and it's made a lot more, he says to each of them, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." And that's a beautiful phrase, isn't it? Well done, good and faithful servant. One day God will want to know what we have done with our lives, with the opportunities and circumstances that he gave us, and whether we've been prepared to serve him, even if there's been a cost. And it may be fanciful, but I like to think that when we meet Jesus, then in a manner of speaking, he'll take our hands in his own scarred ones, and he'll sort of turn them over to see what scars we've got from following him. And maybe to some of us he'll say, "I saw those times when you were alone and struggling, and I saw how you kept going and served me at church and elsewhere, and it pleased me. Well done, good and faithful servant." Or he'll say, "I know your home situation was difficult, but I saw that for my sake you kept going despite the cost, and it pleased me. Well done, good and faithful servant." And maybe to some of us he'll say, "I saw how your heart broke for the people you were trying to help. It pleased me that you kept on caring and praying and doing what you could. Well done, good and faithful servant." Or, "I know the questions you asked about your illness. I saw your tears and how you held on and did what you could to serve me despite your limitations. And it pleased me. Well done, good and faithful servant." You see, when we come before God, it won't matter if we've gained worldly success, had money, been very popular, looked good. These are all the things that the world values. But what really matters will be whether we have tried to please our Lord. As Paul says in one of his letters, we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. We make it our goal to please him. One day we will reach our heavenly destination and worship the Lamb who was slain. And at that point, I believe that as we have the joy of meeting our Saviour face to face, our own wounds will seem well worth the price. And our sufferings in this life will be like a mist that fades as we are transformed into glory. So how are you this morning? Are you well and happy, rejoicing in God's love and blessings? If so, that's great. Jesus brings us joy, and his word tells us to rejoice with those who are rejoicing, and you can be a blessing to others. But if you're not so great, and if you're feeling a bit wounded from struggles along the way, then take heart from this picture of Jesus meeting Thomas. "Peace be with you," Jesus says to his dear friends. And he shows Thomas his hands and his side. Jesus, our Saviour, has walked the path of pain. He's drunk the cup of suffering dry, and he has redeemed it all. He promises to bring good out of everything. He leads us to eternity, and one day will wipe every tear from our eyes. He understands your difficulties, He's ready to bless you with his peace. So place your trust in him.